down, but make it like you're saying it.
Yes. In Daniel, going on in Daniel, Daniel 3:17 about the Hebrew children, and Daniel 6:10, Daniel was put, he was framed. He was put into a situation in which his life was really at a point where he knew he might die. And yet, knowing that he might die, he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day praying and giving thanks. The word says here in Daniel 6:10, he was giving thanks before his God. Knowing that he might die at any time for his belief, he gave thanks.
All right,
praise
now,
God.
Let's give a little background on it. Why would he feel like he might die?
Well, because these friends not friends, but the people that he was working around, they conspired because I believe they were jealous. They were jealous of the favor that he was shown. King Darius loved Daniel. He learned a lot from Daniel, and yet there were very jealous men around him. There'll always be jealous people. There'll always be jealous people that want to
take. I believe they were jealous because of his extraordinary gifting. He was a man of a different spirit. Even the king said that.
That's right, and he had actually given prophecy and interpretations of dreams that the king had had. So we knew that this man had high favor with the king. So they decided that anybody who would bow to any other god besides the god of King Darius would be thrown into the lion's den. So he was not going to back down here. He was going to worship his God, the God of Isaac and Abraham and Jacob, and Jehovah God, the one and only God in Deuteronomy 6:4. He was going to worship him and thank him. So he continued to do that until they caught him and tied him up and threw him in the lion's den.
Well, it was a conspiracy.
It was.
It was a setup deal.
It was.
And but he continued to praise the Lord no matter what the circumstances were and turned his face toward Jerusalem. And some of you are set up today. There are people, I'll tell you, I've worked in situations that were absolutely ugly. And they'd set people up to get them fired and do all kinds of things. That's still going on today.
Mm-hmm.
We have people call us and say, someone lied about me and I lost my job.
Mm-hmm.
That's still going on today. But I'll tell you, you stick with the Most High God, he'll deliver you just like he delivered Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, then there was Habakkuk and Micah. These were prophets of God who were raised up at a time right before captivity, right before Israel went into captivity, to warn them, to help them to change around, turn around, get them out of their idolatry, but they did not. And here in the middle of distress, Habakkuk 3:17 says, though the fig tree should not blossom, though there be no fruit on the vine, though the yield of the olive it should fail, let's see, what else does it say here? Though the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stall, yet I will exult. And this is the exult, E-X-U-L-T, Darren, where you spin around and you dance with joy. I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He's made my feet like hinds feet. Here we go again. It's the hinds feet from Psalm that we heard about this morning, and makes me walk in my high places. Hallelujah.
And you know, when you see the cheerleaders on the sideline at some of these great football contests, you know, they're throwing, one cheerleader throws another one up in there, and they're twirling around, they're doing all kinds of things. They're really exalting that team.
Mm-hmm.
But here we're exalting the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it says we need to do that. We need to exalt the Lord, the God of our salvation.
That's right. And then in Micah 7:7, Micah was going through some hard times, and he says, but as for me, I will watch expectantly for my Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. Then he goes on in Micah saying, do not rejoice over me, O enemy. He's talking right to Satan here. He's saying, don't rejoice over me, O enemy, because though I fall, I'm going to rise up again with the help of God.
Okay.
Oh, that's what a great thing to say to the devil.
Now, let me stop you right here, Barb. Let me stop you right here. Let's take a very practical situation today where our taxes are way out of line. People are oppressed by the IRS, in many cases very unfairly. Let's just take that as an example.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to them? Do you really believe in your heart, and I'm saying this, do you really believe in your heart that you could counsel them and say, now wait, you're over your head with the IRS, and there seems to be no apparent way.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you owe more to the IRS than a year's wages,
mm-hmm.
and there's just no way that you can save up that money and pay them off, and you still have to pay taxes on your current income, and you're telling me that I could exalt and praise the Lord and jump up and down and do all this kind of stuff? Yes. What do you tell them?
Yes, because we've just gone through verses of people in impossible situations. People without the hand of God reaching down and delivering them out of the fiery furnace, out of the belly of the whale, out of many different circumstances, the lion's den, David running for his life in the wilderness of Judah. We find that these people were delivered supernaturally because they praised and exalted God. And I believe when we get our eyes off that circumstance, off that actual circumstance, and focus it on God, God will come to our aid. He will have angels coming to our aid. He will cause ambushments of the enemy. Because really, the man, the IRS, is not our enemy, Darren. It is the demonic system that the devil is the head of, who is over all this. I really truly believe when things come against us as Christians, it's not individual men and women. It is the devil.
What you're saying is there's a spirit behind that.
Absolutely. The devil is always behind it. And what we try to get you to do is get your focus off of an individual who's hurt you, who's caused you pain and suffering, maybe even lost your job because of this individual. Forgive him. Get your mind off this individual. Get it focused on God, and he will crush the enemy.
Now, you need to remember this. When that IRS agent shows up at your door, and they want to see your books, or they want to look around your house, and they're saying, we're going to take your car, we're going to take your house, and we're going to take your kids, and you might on that day say, well, which one do you want? Or you can have them all. You know, maybe you've just had an argument with your kids. But
well, I don't know if I'd ask them in for a cup of coffee or a piece of cake, but
they might. That doesn't matter. If they knock on the door, you're going to let them in.
Because Jesus said, bless those of you who persecute. Bless those people that persecute.
But the point I want to make here is that revenue agent is not your enemy.
That's right.
And, you know, you need not get mad at them and say they're out to personally get you. Now, it may appear that way, but what you need to know is there's an evil spirit there trying to really take charge of your life. Mm-hmm. And if you get him into that, then the devil's won, at least on that day.
Mm-hmm.
But if you'll praise the Lord that he has a way of getting you out of the mess,
mm-hmm.
and praise the Lord for scriptures like Mark 9:23 in the New Testament says all things are possible to him who believes. And let me tell you, all things are impossible to him who gets into fear.
That's
stay out of fear.
True.
You've got to bind that spirit of fear.
And unbelief.
And unbelief.
Doubt. Yeah, that you're ever going to get out of this situation. Oh, God help you and raise you up to forget about the doubt and fear and belief. Get rid of that by a confession of faith and get into praise
that's
and
right.
worship.
That's right.
Oh,
you can whip that thing with your
right.
mouth.
That's right. The next half of this teaching, Darren, we're going into the New Testament, and it's going to be so exciting because we're going to read about Mary and especially the greatest praiser. The Lord told me, he asked me a question, who is the greatest praiser? And I was thinking of all these people. David, he's a great praiser. Jesus, we're going to find out that Jesus was the greatest praiser in the whole world. He still is the greatest praiser, and we're going to give you some scripture about that and more definitions on the word praise and thanks, and I think it will truly bless you, and I hope you turn a corner here.
Amen.
In your life.
Amen.
Like we have really turned a corner in our life, and though the fig tree shouldn't blossom, though there be no fruit on the vine, though the stalls are empty, there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the God of my salvation.
In other words, you don't have anything in your warehouse to sell.
That's right, nothing.
You're out of business. But what we're saying to you folks is that you really can take the word, and you can take your Bible, and you can get out of any hole that you're in with your Bible. You got to know that.
Oh, yeah.
That's your operating manual. That's the manual that you're going to use to get out of the mess, and God's going to set you free.
Amen.
You got to know that. You got to, when you start speaking the word and getting it down in your heart, one day you make a dynamic change,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden the word begins to take over and speak to you on the inside of you.
Oh, praise God.
And that's what Romans 12:1-2 is about. Renew your spirit and renew your mind in the spirit of the word.
Amen.
And when you do that, I'll tell you, then you're a person that will have a reputation in hell. They'll fear you, and that's exactly what you want. Well, we're suggesting that you advance this tape to the end of this side, turn it over, and we're going to go for it on side 2.